Can you just turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 if you've got a Bible? I don't know if there's some Bibles out there if you've not got a Bible. Now, I'm not going to be reading 1 Samuel chapter 17, but I just want you to have it there so you can kind of scan it and find bits if you need to. Okay, I'm really excited about giving this talk today and really nervous, but I'm really excited about it. God's really been laying on my heart quite a few things over the past few weeks, and it's not all in this sermon, fortunately, because he'd be here for a very long time. So lots of things are going to kind of come out over the coming weeks and months, but this is one of them, and it fits in so well with the Psalms, Battle Hymns of the Kingdom. Because God's calling us to be giant slayers. God's calling us to be giant slayers. In fact, we are called to be giant slayers. It's not just that he's kind of going about to call us to be giant slayers. We are called to be giant slayers. And David was called to be a giant slayer. And the story in 1 Samuel 17 is the story of David and Goliath. And I'm assuming that most people know the general overview of the story of David and Goliath. So that's why I'm not reading the whole chapter. But it was really important that David slew this giant. Because in the slaying of this giant, David moved on in the purposes of God for him. And not only for him, but for the whole of mankind. So this giant slaying was purposeful in that it brought him more fully into his destiny. Yeah. And we have got giants that need slaying in order to bring us more fully into our destiny. Amen. And if they don't get slayed, you don't enter in. Right. And that was the pattern with the people of Israel, wasn't it? Where they were afraid to go in to the land to slay the giants, so they didn't come into their destiny at the time they were supposed to come into their destiny. In fact, all those ones who rejected God at that point and rejected trusting in God did not enter into their destiny. They did not go into the land. Even Moses didn't go into the land. But those who knew they could take on the giants because they knew their God, they did go into the land, and they did fulfill their destiny. And the Lord wants to encourage us to have that heart of David, the psalmist. And David overcame a giant called Goliath, who represented the Philistines, who was a nation opposing God's people Israel. So giants are your enemies. Your enemies are your giants. I'm kind of going to use those terms synonymously, really, today. And the Lord wants us to take hold of that heart of David for ourselves, because there are giants to be slain. There are enemies that stand in the way of God's rule in your life. Yeah. And that of our nation. And that of the nations of the world. Because it kind of starts here and it goes like that. Last week, Mike read from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, which says, "A great door," Paul says, "a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." So right there at the door of opportunity, at the gateway to the thing that you should be moving into, to the fulfillment of your expression of Jesus in this world, right there, at that gateway is a massive load of enemies. There's an enemy. And he might fill your vision. He might be 9 feet tall, like Goliath was. That's what he might feel like. He might just feel like he's 9 feet tall. He might actually be 9 feet tall. But at the doorway to the opportunity for effective work, or just for effectiveness, at the doorway, there stands the enemy. He's not going to go, "Oh, your lordship, through the door." come on in to God's plan and destiny for your life. He's just going to make sure he's standing there, stopping you getting in there, going through it. So if you're feeling stuck in a place today, this sermon's for you. If you feel stopped or stuck or plateaued or stale or bored with your Christian walk, you've been embracing some giants. You've been making some pacts and some treaties with some enemies. You've been joining yourself to the wrong thinking. Because the Lord sets us free to move into the things that he's called us to. The Lord doesn't say, oh yeah, I want you stuck. I want you stopped. I want you ineffective. I want you depressed. I want you feeling like you've got no gifts, talents and abilities. That's where I want you. That's where the enemy wants you, because it stops you being effective, doesn't it? It stops you living an effective life. And it's not just like an effective life of doing good, like doing some good stuff. It's an effective life revealing Christ and enjoying Christ and knowing him fully. Amen. You know, the enemy would want to prevent you from all of that, because there is no life unless he's in it, as far as I'm concerned. It's not a life. It's not a life without Jesus. And David had the heart of others who'd gone before him, like I touched on at the beginning there. He had the heart of Joshua and Caleb. So Joshua and Caleb and 10 others went into the land of Canaan to spy it out and see what was what. And the Lord had already told Moses that the Israelites were to go into Canaan because it was their promised land. It had been promised to them. You know, you hear that phrase a lot, don't you? The promised land. It had been promised to them. There are things which have been promised to us. Abundant life has been promised to us. The fact that the Lord is going to his rules and reigns over the whole earth and over the whole heavens is true. Amen. And that we're to help bring that about, to bring in the kingdom of God. He says we will bring in the kingdom of God. Those are his promises to us. You know, we're supposed to be part of that. And God had promised that to the people of Israel way back when he spoke to Abram. That was when he promised it, a long time ago. So, do we believe in that God of promise? We were singing about him before, Yahweh, Yahweh. I was getting really excited in that song. Yahweh is the covenant name of God. When you sing out, when you shout out the name Yahweh, you're shouting out, you are the God who's made me promises. You are the God who fulfills all your promises. You are the God who says what he says he's going to do. Amen. You are the God of covenant. And when I acknowledge you, I'm acknowledging my covenant with you, my part. I enthrone you. I enthrone you. You will do what you say you're going to do. And there is a condition. If I ally myself to you, if I put you on the throne and say you are the God of covenant promises. And what the 10 didn't do was they didn't trust that he was the God of the covenant. They didn't trust that. They didn't believe that. Because what they were overwhelmed by was what they saw. And it got exaggerated in their sight. Their fears made things become bigger than they actually were. The main thing that the 10 spies saw were the giants. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It talks about there being giant grapes in that land. They saw them, and it says that they needed... And it does seem quite hard to believe this, that they had like a pole, and they needed a man here and a man here, and they needed the men to carry the grapes like that. None of these, you know, I've just been to Morrison's, you know, two packs for £3 or whatever. It's like, Hannah would be all right, she likes grapes, don't you? But they didn't see that. I mean, yeah, it was a giant thing, wasn't it? It was a giant nice thing. So they didn't see the giant nice things, they just saw the giant nasty things. Yes. And what they saw were the fortified cities, some big blokes, and seven nations they didn't feel they could overcome. And what they said in Numbers 13 was, my paraphrase, it's too much, it's too big a task, and we're as tiny as grasshoppers and they're huge. And the land even eats up those who live there. They actually say that the land devours those who live there. The land eats them up. So in other words, if we go and live there, we're just going to get eaten up by these big blokes and these big nations. That's what's going to happen to us. And we can feel like that. We can feel it's too big. It's too big, and I'm going to get squishulated. It's too big for me. I am just like a tiny grasshopper, and this thing, this giant, this obstacle is going to overwhelm me. It's going to be bigger than me. It's bigger than me. It is bigger than me. Have you looked at it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? It's big. It's really big. And I'm this big and it's that big. And you know that. And the more you think about it and the more you think like that, the bigger it gets, doesn't it? And the more huge your obstacle it becomes. You say, well, I definitely can't overcome that now. I might have even been able to 3 weeks ago, but now it's even bigger. But that's what they were looking at. But Joshua and Caleb, who'd seen exactly the same things, said in Numbers 13, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You know, a bit of a contrast. But they'd seen exactly the same things. Well, what was the difference? But the difference was they believed God, because God had already promised them the land. God has promised us that we will overcome our enemies. And I'll read you scripture that proves that in a minute. God's already said that we will overcome our enemies. He has given us authority to overcome all our enemies. So if you don't believe that, then you can't go to your enemies if you don't believe it. Because it's too big. And it is too big because you are small. Compared to God and compared to angels, compared to demonic forces, you, on your own, by yourself, are very small. But God is not very small. God is very big. And there's some organisation, it's probably in America, called Big God. I can't remember what they do, but they talk about Big God a lot. And I just think it's so simple, but you think, Big God. Yeah, he's a big God. Big God. Big God. Never mind giants. Giants like grasshoppers compared to God. Big God. And they said, didn't say that. Joshua and Caleb said, do not be afraid of the people of the land. We will swallow them up. Never mind the land devours those who live in it. We will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. We say, how can you say their protection's gone when they're living in fortified cities? That's their protection, surely. But they don't have the Lord. The Lord isn't their protection. They don't have any protection, do they? We do. They did. And then they said, but the Lord is with us. So Joshua, Caleb and David all had the same heart. They had the same courage. They all knew their God, trusted their God, had faith in their God. And they figured that if God had promised something, then he would do it because he keeps his promises. So if he promised them Canaan, he'd give them Canaan. And David figured that God was God and would defeat his enemies. So if you read the story of David and Goliath when you get home, even though none of that was about David and Goliath. So before David actually confronts this Philistine giant, in David's life he'd been looking after his father's sheep. But after this, he was given a high ranking in God's army. Not God's army, Saul's army. And God's army as well, I suppose, but Saul's army. And the Lord wants us to face and overcome our giants and our enemies and use them as a step upwards and onwards. So you step on your enemy, you go up and you go up. In Hebrews 10 And in Psalm 110, it says, the Lord's enemies are made his footstool. So he kind of, he lies back on his throne like that. And he has, he's like that. And he has his feet up and his enemies are his footstool. But you can stand on a footstool, can't you? Give you a step up. Sometimes we stick them there for the kiddies, don't we? So they can brush their teeth and all that kind of thing by the sink. And, you know, that's a bit like a footstool, isn't it, as well? You know, it's a step up. Excuse me. So, how do we slay the giant? How do we defeat the enemy? Well, one, we need to know our enemy's ways. So giants want to intimidate you, dominate you, and control you. So what are the things which either intimidate you, dominate you, or control you, which keep you away from fulfilling your destiny in God? What do they look like, you know? Because they're your enemies. And they're the things that need confronting. If you run away from them, they'll just stay there. And fear is a principal weapon that our enemy uses. Goliath stood and defied the armies of Israel, and when they heard his loud shouts and threats, they ran away. It says they all ran away. Verse 24. Now, our giants, enemies, are not people, are they? Sometimes unwittingly people can be used, sometimes wittingly, I suppose, as well. But I'm not talking about someone you don't like very much here, am I? It says Ephesians 6, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, in our society at the moment, a lot of people don't think there are such things as heavenly realms. They don't think there are such things as enemies. They don't think there are such things as spiritual forces, because everything is just what you see and what you touch and what you know. But I know that they're wrong. One, because the Bible says it, but two, because I know it, because I've encountered it in many, many different ways. I've encountered dark forces and I've encountered angels. Amazingly, that's not a boast. And I have encountered the Lord, who is spirit, isn't he? And I'm not the only one. Our enemies want our land, our territory, our personal land, our corporate land as a church, and churches and the church, nations and the globe. You know, he's fairly ambitious. He basically wants everything and he wants to be God. So really, he just wants everything to be subject to him. And he uses all kinds of little kind of things to kind of present to us, you know, giants and things. And we're pursuing God's kingdom rule and reign of God and his righteousness, and the enemy wants to try and prevent the glory of God being shown and known, or known and shown. Yeah. That's his aim, to shut down the glory of God, somehow blanket out the glory of God, somehow cover up the glory of God, somehow hide away the glory of God. You can't hide away the glory of God, but that's what he wants to do. So he does it in little ways. He's a bit like, you know, he kind of does, it's like more like firefighting with him. He's like, you know, ooh, there's a little fire over there, you know, because he can't be everywhere at the same time. So he's kind of, he's trying to put fires out. But what we need to do is get blazing. Inferno. And it reminds him of something, that, doesn't it? Just thought of that then. And he goes, don't like infernos, make me feel a bit uncomfy. Goliath defied the armies of God, but David wasn't having any of it. So, and then we need to know our position. David did know he was smaller and weaker than Goliath, because David knew he wasn't 9 feet tall. And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, not one thing, three things, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh, Amen. The God of covenant promises. What it actually says is the Lord Almighty, but that is what it is, it's Yahweh. The God of the armies of Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. So when David went out, he went out knowing his God and the intentions of God, and he went out positioned with God. God was going to be doing the winning. David was allied to God. It wasn't just himself that went out. He did have to go out. He still had to put the stones in the sling and throw it. But it was God who brought the victory. Because if he'd have done that in his own strength, the same outcome wouldn't have happened. So what is our position? And what is the position of our enemy? And it's really important, this. Just kind of, for simplicity, we just kind of have like three levels. So we've got God, the creator of everything, the creator. He can create, like Mike was saying, he's the only one who can create. He's the only one who has that ability to create, because he is the creator. It's not to say one of many creators. He's a creator. No, he's the creator. And that's what the Psalms are all about, over and over and over again. The sovereignty of God, creator God, Lord of all, Lord of everything, Lord of all the earth. We shout your name, shout your name. That's what the Psalms are all about. That's the underlying, the underpinning theology of those Psalms, is who God is. That's your sermon, isn't it? Then underneath that, God, another created level, if you like, are the angels. So they were created. So they're created beings. And amongst the angels, we've got some angels who rebelled against God. And then some people say that they fell. They didn't just go, ah, fell out of heaven. It says, Satan did. He said, I saw Satan fall. Jesus says that. I saw Satan fall from heaven. Like lightning. Gone. That's what he says. But they were thrown out. Because they didn't belong, because they rebelled, and they wanted power beyond what was right, because they wanted to usurp God's position. They wanted to usurp him and take on his role. So it was like, you're out of here. Gone. Where did they go? They went to the earth. That's where Satan went. Where have you been? God says to Satan when he comes, you know, in Job, where have you been? Well, I've been like roaming about the earth, bit of this, bit of that. But the majority of the angels stuck with God. And then below the angels is mankind. That's us. And when Jesus became a man, he became a little lower than the angels, which, because he became a man, didn't he? So if there's any doubt that he actually really did become a proper man, it says he became a little lower than the angels. So you imagine, you go from creator God to lower than the angels. But allied with Christ, joined with Christ, we take up his position of authority over his enemies, because he's given it to us by his grace, which is amazing. Ephesians 2 verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And in Luke 10, this is the verse I was referring to before, when he was speaking to the 72, when he sent them out, Jesus said, I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Not just some of the power of the enemy, all of the power of the enemy. Amen. And who's given it to us? Jesus. Because he can. Because he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and us, our authority is there, you know, with him. And he gives it to us. It's delegated authority. It's not because I'm a person and because I'm a good person or because I'm any kind of person. It's because he says I can have it as somebody who is allied to Christ, somebody who is joined with him, someone who's in the vine, I can have that authority. If I'm not joined to him, I don't have that authority. And my enemy can overcome me. And my enemy can overwhelm me. And my enemy can crush me. And my enemy can defeat me. But when you're allied to Christ, he can't. He can't. He won't. He doesn't. He can't. He tries. And he makes you think he's bigger than he is. He goes, "Ooh, look how big I am." Yeah, I'll pack it in. He won't be pleased, will he? And the next thing is, we need to take up our weapons. So David's weapons didn't look much compared to Goliath's weapons, but he was skilled at using them. He picked up 5 smooth stones, put one in a sling, and whacked Goliath between the eyes with one, and that was the end of him. They're all, "Oh, run away, run away." And then he's like, "Doof, boof, fall, gone, suddenly, out." Like that. That particular giant never got up again because he was dead. And it's the same with our giants. You don't face the same giant over and over again. Well, the enemy would confuse you and he would say, "Well, you know when you defeated that giant? You know when you had prayer that time? You know when that happened? You know when that happened? It didn't really go away. It didn't really happen that. You just think it did. Because look, it's popped up again, hasn't it?" And it's not the same giant. It can't be the same giant, because if it's been killed, it's been killed. If it's been defeated, it's been defeated. Sometimes it's other giants, you know, sometimes there might be another slant on something. You know, but it isn't actually the same giant that you're facing. And David never had to fight that Goliath again. He did have to face other enemies, but he didn't have to fight that Goliath again. And our weapons are principally word-based weapons, aren't they? We don't have physical swords and physical spears. And, you know, the word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit is what we have. And we use the word in lots and lots of different ways. So we read his word, we learn his word. I've been studying his word more and more recently. And, you know, it's getting in me more and more and more. And I'm kind of seeing more things and I'm understanding more things. And it sinks in, becomes part of you. And we speak his word and truth into people's lives. We prophesy, we declare, we stand up for just causes. Psalm 45 says, "My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." Words. They're not enough. They do mean things. They do matter. They are important. We write. We can write new songs. We can write verse. We can write letters. You know, obviously we write things. We can use them as weapons, words. Sing a new song. Pen a new song. We pray on any and every occasion. We praise. We use our tongues. We use our words. All our weapons are used to exalt and glorify God, to remind us of who he is. He doesn't need reminding, but to remind us of who he is. That's why praise and thanksgiving are really important. That's why David had a real good grasp of that. He was already a skillful musician and psalmist before he killed Goliath. He was already doing that. He was already in Saul's temple, using music to defeat the enemy. Then, before. So he was already skilled and proficient. He knew his God. He was out there in the desert places, wrestling with bears and lions, getting to know his God. He knew the God he knew. We need to really get to know our God. Really get to know him, just like David really got to know him. And when you get to know him, you know in whom you're trusting. You know, we can use these words to speak out against our enemies. We can throw out our enemies. We can be active. in filling the earth with the goodness and glory of God. And our giants can come in many forms. Now, I've got a few here, but you'll know your own. Fear, temptation, discouragement, inner emotional struggles, sickness, redundancy, poverty, debt, injustice, to name but a few. And we would do well to listen to David in Psalm 24, which I really like. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. He is Creator God. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. That's talking about Zion, the city of our God. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, that's you. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, that's Yahweh again. He is the King of glory. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? We can ascend the hill of the Lord because he has cleansed us. Can the enemy ascend the hill of the Lord? No, he can't, can he? Because does he have clean hands and a pure heart? No. So as we ascend the hill of the Lord, as we come to the Lord in thanksgiving, in praise, as we enthrone him, the enemy can't go there. You're going somewhere, the enemy can't go. Because his place is the earth. His place isn't Zion. His place isn't the courts of our living God. That's why it is important, you know, that we open our mouths, we praise and we worship. Whether we do it congregationally now or whether we do it privately and personally, it's important that we declare things. It's important that we speak the truth. You know, we're not just speaking things into the air. We're speaking things out to principalities and powers. And you're hearing it. You know, it's important to use our voice. And when we praise and we give thanksgiving to God, even if you're going through something really hard, even if somebody really close to you is struggling with something really bad, you know, we don't say, oh, thank you for this horrible sickness, Lord. But we can thank him for all he has done before that we know he's done, because that's where David was coming from. And that the Psalms are full of it, remembering the good things that God has already done, remembering the deliverances that he's seen, remembering the times that he had a great time when he was in the presence of God. You know, when you're in a bad place, remember the times when you were having a good time. And it says, it's possible again, you know, to me, it gives you hope. It's important to remember. It's important to declare. It's important to speak into yourself. It's important to read the right things. And the enemy cannot ascend the hill of the Lord. He cannot go to the place of thanksgiving and praise because he has no thanksgiving to give to God. He has no praise to give to God. He doesn't belong there. But you do. And I do. The King of glory is our God. Psalm 46, verse 5. Speaking of that holy place where he dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. When you're there, you will not fall. He says, you know, you will not fall. When you're in God's presence, when you're allied to God, you will not fall. Max Lucado, is that how you say his name? He's written a book about giants, apparently. I haven't read it, so it's not all out of his book. I didn't notice it on the internet, though. But he did say, it has a little thing, it says, if we focus on the giants, we fall, he said. But I would say, if we focus on the giants, we become like the 10. If we focus on the giants, we become like the 10, don't we? But if we focus on God, our giants will fall. Let's have the heart of David, Joshua, and Caleb. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Don't run away from the giants. Identify and confront the giants. Pray and praise. Remember who he is, what he's done in the past. Remember that he's sovereign. Remember that he keeps his promises. Use your enemies as a step up to go through the doors of opportunity that God is presenting to you. Use your enemies as a doorway to your destiny. Right? Destiny is not like one of these like floaty kind of, I don't know, just a spiritual term. You know, what's my destiny? Your destiny is a firm thing to God. Your destiny is you getting hold of who you are, the position that you've got in Christ, and where you're going. Do you know where you're going? Yeah. Do you know that on the way there, there's loads of stuff to do and there's loads of stuff to enjoy? There are lives, there are people who are living like in the Matrix right now. They don't know that there's a heavenly realm. They don't know that there's another alternative reality to the one that they're living. They don't know that. But we can reveal that to them. And that's what he wants you to do. That's your destiny. Your destiny is to reveal that to others. Your destiny is to be fishers of men, I suppose, like Dave would say. It's to reap. It's to bring in. It's to say, do you not know? Don't you know it can be better than this? And if you're struggling, thinking, I don't know it can be better than this, this is what I'm saying. You kind of have to, you defeat your own giants and go out and be defeating giants. It's, you know, it's like, it's personal, it goes out, doesn't it? But you have to defeat your personal giants so that you can be then used to go out and defeat other giants. But don't fall into the trap of thinking, I've got so many giants, because I've still got giants. But it's not stopping me. It does sometimes. It did after I got made redundant. When I got made redundant, it stopped me. Because I felt rubbish. I felt worthless. I felt unwanted. I felt kicked out. I felt awful. I felt really bad. And the effect of that was to paralyse me. And that's exactly what the enemy wanted. Exactly what he wanted. Let's zap her with a taser. I'll go, move. And that's what I felt like. And that's what your giants can do that. They paralyse you. For whatever reason. It can be fear, but it can be other things. It just paralyses you. And it paralysed me. It was really hard to get up and motivate myself to think something different. And I did it with God. I did bring it to people, because that's really important, because we overcome giants with others. And I worked through it. You know, and it still comes, you know, it comes round, and because I've still not got a job as such, and I still don't know what's happening with all of that, and it's been 12 months, and it's odd, but God has done loads of things in that year. God's revealed himself to me in ways, many, many more ways, and I'm much more confident in who I know, what I know, what he's got for you guys. So much more confident. And I hope that you reap the rewards of what the enemy would have wanted for my ill, which God has wanted for not just my good, but for all the good of anybody else. So if you see somebody wrestling with a giant, you know, come alongside them. Because God's got a destiny for you to fulfill. Let's pray. Lord, I want to really thank you that you are the Lord of all the earth. That you have given us authority to defeat all our enemies. But Lord, you put us together with other people who come alongside. You've given us the power of words, of proclamation, of declaration, of prayer. You shift things, you move things, you bind things, you loose things. You release us from our oppressors. And we want to come to you this morning, Lord, and present to you the things which are looming large, the things which we might be wrestling with that stop us from moving really forward and really onward with you. And we want to use our enemies as a footstool, Lord. We want to stand on them to move into you and to move into what you've got, not only for us personally, but for what you've got for the world, Lord. You know, where the enemy would say you're insignificant, it doesn't matter if you overcome your giant or not, as long as Bill's overcome his giant. That's not true. It's really important that we each overcome the giants that present themselves, because each of us is significant. Each of us is important to you. So, Lord, I want to pray that you just might rest with the Holy Spirit on each person this morning. You'll give a reassurance in each heart this morning of their significance, their importance to you. That you'd be bringing to mind, Lord, the next thing that you want them to step into. The giant that needs confronting and identifying. And then if anybody's here this morning who is sort of still in that kind of matrix world, not really knowing whether it's true, this stuff, or not true, real or not real, cry out to God. Say, show yourself to me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. I want to know if you're real. I want to know if you are who you say you are. You seek me, and I'll be found. Amen.